Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Gate Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefery, and this is episode number 221. I want to thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment, spread the word. Just try to, you know, to introduce everybody to great people and put out a great message, and you guys sharing that helps out tremendously. Also want to thank our sponsors, specifically InTech, for sponsoring this episode for you for free. I've got an InTech, I have multiple InTech bars in my facility, got InTech plates in my facility. I had them at Eastern Michigan as well. It's a fantastic company, and just only partner with companies that I believe in that have a similar mission of giving back to strength coaches, and InTech definitely does that. This week, I'm joined by Rob Brokaw. Rob's the head strength coach at North Bend Central High School in Nebraska. He's been at a variety of high schools, been in corporate fitness. Been a friend of mine for a couple of years here now, and just a great guy. So, man, I appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate it. This is a big milestone in my career. This is like a, you know how you make the 5-year bet? This is on my list, I got to admit.
No, I appreciate that, man. That's awesome. It's great to hear. Well, we kind of went through your journey there. You talked about, you know, I talked a little bit about corporate wellness, you know, and then being at other high schools. Which one of those experiences really kind of, you know, is where you grew up as a coach, best defines you, where you learned the most, and kind of that you point to, like, this was a defining moment for me as a strength coach?
You know, I kind of have an untraditional path through for the strength game here, but I would say it was at my previous school, our Bishop Bergen Catholic. It was, you know, I was an elementary para just so I could get in when coaching with the kids, and then built a strength and conditioning program. So, from the ins and outs, from managing to being an entrepreneur, you know, like you talk about in your book, to just about everything that I could learn and do wrong and learn from again, I had in that experience at Archbishop Burton. So really look back on it, that's where I grew the most, that's for sure.
Well, I think I always ask that question because I think for all of us coaches, we can point back to a place where, you know, we really kind of started to kind of understand what it meant to be that technician, that manager, that entrepreneur, and kind of balancing all those hats. And, you know, if you haven't found that yet, I think it's, you know, as a strength coach, you should be on a quest to find that. If you have found it, then, you know, recognizing that and never kind of forgetting where you've come from, I think is important. You know, I still go back and I point to being at South Florida and being a 2,000 square foot weight room with two racks and two platforms. And that's where I grew up as a coach, you know, and sometimes when I'm at the University of Tennessee or one of the NFL programs that I've worked with, where we got anything and everything, sometimes you forget where you came from, you know, and I think it's important that we remember that. But, you know, and those stops, you know, and again, you know, like you even self-admittedly, you know, kind of just really getting back and get going in the strength game. You're going to make mistakes, you know, you're going to make lots of mistakes. You know, what's one of the biggest that you've made and kind of how you learned from it?
The biggest thing was trying to do too much. I think that was kind of one of the, just to quote one thing, the triphasic training, read Cal Dietz's book. And that was one of the first clinics I went to. I drove up to Minnesota and met a whole bunch of people. Learned from, you know, Cal himself, triphasic training, got all that information, brought that all back and tried to incorporate it all at once. And, you know, quoting Dan McKim, I didn't earn what I learned. So I didn't take the time to really absorb all that information and figure out how it could work in our setting. I still got some good benefit from it, but man, I was throwing way too much at these high school kids that didn't quite understand what it was we were trying to get at. So they never really got the full gambit of the five phases of training.
Yeah, I think I often say on the show and talk about the first time that I was interviewed by Mark Asanovich, and he asked me to define strength. And, you know, at that time I wasn't, you know, I really couldn't come up with a great answer. Here's the most fundamental question to what we do is define what strength and conditioning means or define strength. And I couldn't do it, you know, and I think as coaches, you know, so many times we learn different things at different clinics and different conferences, and we come back without fully understanding it. And we really don't have a thorough understanding of what it means to even do the program, let alone how to coach it, you know. And yeah. And I think that's a common mistake for a lot of coaches. So I'm glad you brought that up. You know, you're just finishing up. I mean, getting close to finishing up summer training here with you know, with the high school kids. High school, having four high schoolers myself. I mean, I know it's, you know, we got lacrosse this week, and you know, today we got, later on today we got wrestling practice, and we got swim practice. We got this, that, and the other. You know, how are you setting up your schedule to be able to corral as many of those kids as you can?
Yeah, it's a tall order, that's for sure. You know, when I was in high school, it was at that time to get the biggest gains, biggest strength gains in the summer, and I'm sure that, you know, every other program is thinking the same thing. But what I'm finding out, you know, I listened to, you know, the entrepreneurial portion of things, got me tailored on to listening, you know, some Gary Vaynerchuk and some of these cats that are in the business world, doing a lot of self-assessment. And I found that the summer season is more of an in-season than the actual in-season is. Okay. Man, they got four or five different things going on, whereas in the school year, they got school and then the sport, you know. So it's really trying to find a good spot for them. It's always, you know, really took a turn this summer for optimal style of training. You know, I'm a percentage guy. I have been a percentage guy for a long time. And this summer, I really kind of went away from the percentages and took it as just, you know, like the APRE, you hear the reps that we're doing today, because shoot, I might not see this kid for another week and a half.
Right.
And they're not going to live. They're not going to go and do this stuff. You know, they're not, as much as I would love them to, in some situations, you know, we'll give them a body weight workout and they'll do that a couple times and come back and not be terribly out of shape. But
right.
To come back and say, okay, we're on to, you know, 90, 95% of our lifts this week, no matter that you weren't here the last 2 weeks, you know. So I found myself really going back and forth, and then I decided to just make that switch to APRE and let's get some solid weight going and really just focus on the movement. The tier allows me to do that, so
right.
Well,
I agree with you. Yeah, that's fantastic. I think another challenge, obviously, is you're not just dealing with a football player only. You're dealing with a football player, basketball. He plays basketball and he also runs track, or you know, it's a women's cross country, tennis and lacrosse or something. How are you writing a program that covers the gamut, and how do you make your programs specific to the sport?
Yeah, well, I mean, strength is one of those deals where you have to have it in every aspect of her in every sport. So the, again, we'll follow the tier system, train everything every day. You're not catching fly balls with just your chest, right? So you got to make sure that you're working everything as you get going. I really base everything off of routine. So if we can get people in routines, the more, you know, the better. So who has the most bizarre schedule of all sports? I would say baseball, right? I mean, they have game day, night, all over the place. And their biggest thing from you know, following, as you know, as we do with the strength world, following other coaches, is they try to stick to the routine, you know, try to get a routine set up. And going off of that basis, I do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 day a week lift, and on Tuesday, Thursday. During the summer, we do fourth quarter training. During the school year, we go into more of a prehab, you know, mobility, conditioning type of a day. And based on if you have games that day, we'll drop the percentage, make it more of a game day type of lift. But really, the movements stay the same. So I'll adjust the sets and reps. You know, particular seasons, we'll have different rehab, you know, following Andrew Hootie's compliance and stiffness, depending on what season they're in. I will make adjustments on their prehab stuff according to whatever season that they're in. But for the most part, you know, tier one is power cleans, back squat, and bench. I hate how you got to be specific with back squat.
Right.
Back squat, bench, and then we roll down from there. So our top three tiers will stay the same. But as we go through the seasons, our definitely our tiers two, tier three, even tier four will change.
I got you. Yeah. You know, with you know, being in a high school setting, I mean, or you know, being in that setting, you have a freshman and a senior, and there's quite a bit of a difference between a 13-year-old and an 18-year-old. You know, in college, it's different enough, a freshman in college versus a senior in college, but there's quite a bit more of a difference between that 13-year-old and that 18-year-old. You got a wide array of ages, training ages. Some people never touched a bar. Some people knew it for 4 years in your program. You got genders. You got, you know, the whole deal. How are you staffing this? How do you monitor this in a way that, you know, because you also have a limited amount of resources, I would imagine.
Yeah. So it's really facility design. You know, that's really how our supervision gets across, is facility design. I was lucky enough to actually get a new weight room put in this summer through Sorenex, which was amazing. But really, sight lines, making sure that everything is set up in a certain way so kids can go to the rack. You know, it's just me in the room, and we have, like you were saying, we have everything from the freshman girl that weighs 79 pounds to the senior guy that weighs, you know, 250. You know, so we have that in the same classroom at the same time.
Right.
Really having those progressions and regressions set up right off the bat. If we have, you know, basically a set up a rack where you have four kids per rack. You got your main movement, typically a spot, and then you're going to have two secondary movements that are typically a prehab rehab or some sort of abdominal core work or secondary work assistance. And then we do the rotation. You do that. I think one of the things I go back to a lot, I forget what clinic it was at, but it's a video of you going through how you cycle athletes through their rotation. That allows me to really supervise and make sure everything's going accordingly. Right. So if I have a kid that is struggling on a squat pattern, when they go to those secondary movements, I can take them out on those secondary movements and coach them up. So really, it's supervision by design. I made sure between our timing system and our program and how we do things that I can coach as much as possible. So I don't want to have to deal with Timmy over there messing with whatever. If he's not doing something when that bell rings, he's wrong. Right. So I can see that from a mile away and pick them out. You know, if I got my sight lines cleared out and everybody's in a certain spot, and that allows me to do a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah,
that's a wide variety of athletes.
Oh, that's fantastic. You mentioned, you know, a couple times now. You mentioned Cal. You mentioned Andrea Hoodie, APRE with Brian Mann and you know, Gary Schofield. You probably got a lot of stuff from myself. You mentioned a lot of kind of mentors and things like that that you've kind of leaned on to kind of Frankenstein your program, you know, put it together. What is your process? You know, how do you go out? I mean, are you constantly learning? You're constantly reading and researching? Or are you just kind of, you set aside time each day to focus on developing yourself as a coach? What are some of the things you do from a continuing education standpoint?
All the time. It's constant. It's always, like, if I see something on, you know, Facebook or Twitter, I'm definitely trying to read and keep up. Really talking to coaches. Shoot, I went to the NSCA Las Vegas convention a couple weeks ago. And yes, the presenters were fantastic and you learn a lot from there. But man, I got the opportunity to have breakfast with Mike Lewis, and shoot, I earned what you learn there.
Right.
He set me up with a conditioning package that I'm just beyond excited to really roll out. All the other teachers and stuff at school think I'm anti-cardio, because the first thing I did was take all the cardio stuff in the weight room and move it out of the weight room.
Right.
Being able to utilize those things and really get things going is exciting to me. Like, I live for that stuff.
Sure.
Really, just having conversations, listening to your podcast, listening to, even entrepreneurial podcasts where they just say, you know, do more than what's expected of you, trying to find that little niche, if you will, to differentiate, you know, my cowboy wearing, you know, FFA crew that we have here at North Bend Central. You know,
yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah.
Well, I think that's so important. And I think what you really said there, that's a takeaway message. You can learn a lot from clinics. You can learn a lot from Facebook and Twitter and books and all that, you know, but actually getting to the horse's mouth and talking to a coach and figuring out what their motivation's behind and what they're thinking is. And that's by far the best way to really learn, you know, and not only do you learn, but you create a network there to where, you know, if all of a sudden you have a question about that program, you could actually call Mike or reach out to him. And I think that's something that a lot of coaches, you know, they have either a fear or intimidation of reaching out to some of their mentors or reaching out to people. But if you just set that aside, you're just like, you just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a guy that obviously is a product of having many, many great conversations through the years, and myself included. I'm the same way. That's why I do the podcast, right?
No, it's scary, really. I mean, this profession is so unbelievable. Everybody's willing to share, and if you take the time, and I know you've done your research, they know you've done your background work. If you're asking the right questions, you'd be more than willing to help you out. That's the biggest thing.
That's an important point. Yeah, if you're asking about, you know, how do I bench more, then you're probably not going to get a very extensive conversation. But if you're really digging into the program and you have some intelligent questions, people want to help, you know, coaches want to help each other out. That's why they do what they do. One of the things you also mentioned in there, you know, entrepreneurial a couple of times, you know, and obviously I wrote about that in my book about, you know, that I think that's a phase that we have to go through, or an aspect of what we have to do to be a success in this field is be an entrepreneur. That doesn't mean always just finding additional money or things like that, but it means constantly sharpening a sword or challenging your ideals or thinking outside the box on an approach. And one thing that you did that I think is really, really good that expedited your process has been that you went and you started a clinic and you brought people to you to learn from, you know, as opposed to you can only get out to so many places, but you can bring five or six people in to learn from to you, you know, and talk a little bit about the motivations for starting that clinic, and then what have been some of the benefits that you've realized that you maybe didn't even know going into it.
Oh, definitely. Well, when I started at Bergen, one of the big obviously was funding. So what I was trying to say, you know, a new strength coach, and I'm member of the NSCA, and I like to do all this stuff, and I started traveling to these clinics. They were like, I have no problem spending my own money and my time to go do these things. I had a school pay for one clinic that I've gone to. Everything else has been kind of on my own. And I have no problem doing that. But at the same token, we needed funds for the room. And so I was trying to, you know, we're at a Catholic school, small Catholic school, and you can't ask your donors for more money coming in. And all I could think of is I don't even know where I heard it. I'm probably sure I've heard it a couple different times, but what problem can you solve? It shouldn't be when you ask your kids, it shouldn't be what do you want to do when you grow up. It should be what problem should you solve?
It's good for that.
Yeah, for me, it was we need strength coaches at the high school level. And I know it sounds kind of, you know, silly or whatnot, but that's exactly where I feel I am like called to do. And talking to other strength coaches in the state, because I go and talk to those that have had success and those that even just have programs. I went and talked to as many people as I possibly could, and you could just tell they were all in their little, you know, I couldn't talk to anybody around here about cow beats. I couldn't talk to anybody about, the grid down in Texas. I couldn't talk to anybody about this stuff because they didn't know.
Right.
Why would you go out of your way to do all that kind of fun stuff when in reality you teach geography? And you're in the weight room, So what I decided to do is take some of these cats and bring them down to Bergen, not only to help out with our funding situation for the strength and conditioning program, but so I can learn. And so everybody around me can learn. That way I can have these conversations on a regular and continue to learn myself, start sharpening my sword as much as I possibly could. And that turned into a goal of, basically enhancing the level of athletic development in the state of Nebraska. I mean, Alvin Roy and everything like that, but Boyd Epley's the dude. You know, when you talk to anybody in Nebraska, Boyd Epley's the absolute, you know, he's the godfather. So that's one of the Husker power is strong, that's for sure, here in the state of Nebraska, and everyone's kind of stuck with that same mantra as we go. But and I firmly believe that without those staples, we don't have what we have today.
Sure.
So you need to know. You need to know your history. You need to know everything that's there. But you need to, curtail everything that you got so it will work for your kids.
Right.
So bringing those cats in and going through the clinic, I learned so much more about myself and what I can handle and what, you know, the power of asking somebody and asking them the right way is a big deal. I mean, shoot, Dan John, you know, he's got how many millions of followers? He's the best-selling author.
Right.
And I gave him, he puts his phone number on everything that he has. I gave him a call. This coach, John, I'm like, hey, coach, do you want to come to Nebraska? And he's like, yeah, sure, we can do that. That sounds great, So it's amazing what can happen if you ask for it, and if you always have good intentions behind what you're doing, you'll be a success. That's something I've really learned. If the intent is good, things work out. I've come across some really bad situations where I wasn't sure whether the clinic would even go. The Big Red Football Coaching Clinic decided to put their clinic on the same day that I had. I heard he had speakers coming in. And that's the biggest clinic in the state.
Right.
Had 125 coaches show up. If your intent is good, things will work themselves out as long as you just keep working. Another thing that I learned was that you never know what you're going to learn from somebody that you have a conversation with. I mean, shoot, anybody in any situation, you can learn from them. And then try, as long as, again, go back to intent. If your intent is good, if you're really just trying to get your athletes better, or if you're trying to get yourself better, to be a better servant for those that you're trying to, things work themselves out.
No question. I think, I've ran a clinic everywhere I've been, and the main reason was because I wanted to learn as much as I could learn to make my athletes better. And you keep talking about the intent, and that was always my intent, was the better that I got as a coach for my athletes, it was worth whatever investment I had to make, whether or not I lost money on a clinic, gained money on a clinic. Yeah, we would just reinvest that money into the program if we got any surplus. But I think, a lot of young coaches ask me all the time, clinics are a big part of how I grew as a coach, but putting on clinics was probably a big way of how I grew my network, and got experience speaking, got experience interacting with coaches. Some of the logistical things that made me a better coach as well, the dealing with budgets and things like that. And I think what's really cool to see and have you on and talk about is, you started it from a purity of heart. It's grown into a significant event in the Midwest. But it all started from, that just wanted to make the profession better, but it's led to you expanding your network and then expanding what you're able to do for your kids. And I think if there's a young coach or a young head strength coach, whatever the situation that's out there right now, I'd be pitching that like crazy. I'd be pitching, let's do a clinic. Let's figure out a way to do it. And yeah, you may not make money the first couple of years, but you're going to win out in the long run for sure. And I think that you definitely would agree with me on that.
Not a doubt. The networking portion of things, and you'd be surprised to find different people. Shoot, we're trying to network now. We have female strength coaches at the high school level. I mean, that's something that I'm finding out people that are super qualified to be a strength coach, more so than the head football coach that's the geography teacher. They're more qualified to be in these roles, but they're not doing it because they just don't feel quite empowered enough. And I'm finding these fantastic coaches, all over the state, which is fantastic. We can build that up. And
absolutely. Who knows,
you can't go wrong there, right?
No question. I just did a podcast with for a project that Anthony Renna is doing. And, you know, he asked me what was, you know, the definition of success, you know, and I told him it was, you know, making an impact, and and taking as many people, embracing the journey and taking as many people on the journey as you can. And he asked me, you know, what were some of the things that I felt like separated me from others, you know, and, you know, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the, you know, I'm not the best looking guy and all those types of things, you know, I mean, I'm pretty good looking, but not so much. But I told him that, you know, I was relentless. I'm relentless and I'm an action taker, you know, and I think that that's you as well. You're an action taker. You get an idea in your head and you're like, man, you know what? That sounds like something that's going to benefit my athletes or me. Let's do it. And what's the worst that can happen? I can fail. Oh, no big deal. No harm done. I think that's, it's hard for a lot of people to accept, I think, but I think you've done that not just with your clinic, but you're also doing that now with however many years in of being a coach, and you're already the state director for the NHSSCA for Nebraska, you know, something that you just went out and you got. Talk a bit about the motivations behind just, you know, like just that kind of free spirit of attacking things without the fear of the repercussions sometimes.
Oh, I really have nothing to lose. No, I mean, in reality, it's such an infant, especially here in Nebraska, it's such an infant position. Like, everybody's neophytes, including myself. I mean, I'm 30. So it's like, I'm just getting going myself. And it was one of those things that I saw, like we were talking about, a legacy. Bringing that into the realm of what I want to be remembered as, and what do I do, and that's making an impact, a positive impact, leaving places better than when I found them, and bring as many people along as I can. And that was just something I saw, and I thought, you know, what does it matter? The first clinic, I was thinking maybe 50 coaches would show up, and 150 walked through the door. Awesome. I was scrambling for chairs, we were scrambling for everything. And it was just something that I saw as a need, and it worked. I really wouldn't have cared if anyone had showed up. Same thing in the mornings, you know, I come into the training sessions. If one kid shows up, I'm wrong. You know, I haven't been skunked yet. I haven't gone through a workout where no one showed up. Right. Until that happens, I'm just going to keep rolling. And it's really just the drive behind it is I want to be the coach that I never had. You know, that's something that I had some really good coaches in my day. I really did. But at the same time, no one really took that extra effort, that extra, you know, they weren't going to the clinics. They weren't hitting these things up that I'm doing now and really going forth and doing the extra work make sure that I'm in the best possible position that I can to really be pushed and to really reach my potential. And that's really what drives me is I want to fill that gap. I want to be the dude. My dad, he's the dude. I mean, he's a fire protection engineer. If anyone across the state needs anything, who do they call?
Right.
They call. You know, so that's something. It's just been ingrained in me that you want to be the guy. You want to be the guy that people go to. I want to be that guy. And I'm super happy to be that guy in the state of Nebraska for the NHSSCA. It is a fantastic, you know, organization. I'm always wearing my wristband, educate, empower, and equip. And the fact that that's the mission, and you got, again, the intent. Gary and Kevin and Fred, I mean, those guys have nothing but positive intent behind the organization to help as many high school coaches along the way. I mean, shoot, that's what they do. You know, this is a side hobby for them, really. They're smart coaches.
Don't forget Rich Gray in there. We got to get the play representative.
Yeah, Rich, without a doubt, the ED himself, man.
No doubt. Yeah. No, Rich, he's a stud, isn't he? Well, hey, I think you know, something that you said in there that I think kind of summarizes that. Well, I would always tell coaches and athletic directors and my coaching staff that I wanted the weight room to be the central nervous system. I wanted everything to go through the weight room. You know, if somebody needed a phone number, I wanted them to come down and get it from us. If somebody needed to track down a kid, I wanted them to come down and get it for us. Because I think there's power in the ability to connect people and be the conduit there. And I think, you know, that's what you've done here with your clinics, with with, taking on a state director. I did the same thing. I was a state director in Florida, you know. I think when you do that and you put yourself in these positions where you can connect people, or I do that all the time now, where I just think that two people should meet. I'll connect them on email or something without really any kind of a prompting on my part. You know, it's just something that I do. When you get that kind of reputation to do that, people find value in you and they trust you and they like you. And I think ultimately, as whether or not we're trying to sell our programs to our athletes, to coaches, we're trying to sell ourselves and our personal brand. People mm-hmm. want to interact with people that they know, like, and trust. And, I think that's how you build that, in my opinion. But, well, Rob, we finished the show with some resources here, man. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Up until this last month, it was it's never going to be perfect from Dan John. I mean, really, that was a big piece of advice from him. But Gary Schofield and Mike Booley, once again, we had a good conversation. And they really were telling stories about their previous coaching experiences and how they got going. And it was really do more than what's expected of you. You know, do more, like you said, make it the central nervous system of the school. You know, there's no reason in all reality, I could be that coach that sits in the corner of the weight room and reads the paper and no one would say boo. You know, because that's the way it's been. But that's not me. I need to do more than what's expected of me. So that was a really good piece of advice in every aspect in my life. Do more than what's expected.
That's great. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
For book, I really like the Gary V. Crush It. I know that sounds kind of, but man, it's fantastic. And you got it back there?
I got it back here somewhere.
Love that.
Yeah, it's somewhere over there.
Yeah, and then that NX Cardone, Grant Cardone, 10X, fantastic book again. Everybody knows the training books. I would say the same things repeated on here a lot. For an app, I really just use the Boxing Pro, Timer Pro for all my timing situations, and so it's always a good one. Website, nhssca.us. Basically, the Facebook page is fantastic. I can't tell you how many times people, I just did an exhibitor booth at one of the big clinics here in Nebraska, all sports clinic, and so many people came by, like, man, I just joined that Facebook group. It's like, there's so much information going on down there. I just keep scrolling in the history of the posts because they're answering so many questions in far more detail than I ever would have thought. Excel Training Designs with your boy Steve Olson.
Yeah, see.
I always use that. I love the sheets. I've definitely been that's big to go for me.
Good, man. Well, hey, man, it's been awesome having you on. And I think what everybody will take away from this conversation is just how genuine you are. I think that there's a certain amount of confidence and humility. You know, and I think a lot of people don't recognize that as much. And I think, you're a guy that, you're putting your athletes first. You're putting, the program first, the organization that you're involved in first. And when you do that, rising tide raises all ships, and you get better in the process. And I think that's evident all the way throughout and really respect how you're doing your job there and how you're giving back to the community. So I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for everything you do. I mean, that's high praise from Coach McKee for you right there. Thanks, y'all.
Absolutely, man.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.